Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster, where we left off some time ago. We're doing the Fall 2021 issue, which is all about temptation. Remember, we had a couple sessions on that already. Let's hear from J.C. Ryle now, who's going to tell us about a tempted Savior. J.C. Ryle, if you don't remember, lived from 1816 to 1900. He was an English Anglican, bishop of the Anglican Church, born at Macclesfield, Cheshire County, England, UK. Again, lived from 1816 to 1900. His scripture, Luke 4, 1 and 2, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. The first event recorded in our Lord's history after his baptism is his temptation by the devil. From a season of honor and glory, he passed immediately to a season of conflict and suffering. First came the testimony of God the Father, "Thou art my beloved Son." Then came the sneering suggestion of Satan, "If thou be the Son of God." The portion of Christ will often prove to be the portion of Christians, from great privilege to great trial, and there will often be but a step. Let's first mark in this passage the power and unwearied malice of the devil, that old serpent who tempted Adam to sin in paradise, was not afraid to assault the second Adam, the Son of God. Whether he understood that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh may perhaps be doubted, but that he saw in Jesus one who had come into the world to overthrow his kingdom is clear and plain. He had seen what happened at our Lord's baptism. He had heard the marvelous words from heaven. He felt that the great friend of man was come and that his own dominion was in peril. The Redeemer had come. The prison door was about to be thrown open. The lawful captives were about to be set free. All this we need not doubt. Satan saw and resolved to fight for his own. The prince of this world would not give way to the Prince of Peace without a mighty struggle. He had overcome the first Adam in the Garden of Eden. Why should he not overcome the second Adam in the wilderness? He had spoiled man once of paradise. Why should he not spoil him of the kingdom of God? Let it never surprise us if we are tempted by the devil. Let us rather expect it as a matter of course if we are living members of Christ. The master's lot will be the lot of his disciples. That mighty spirit, who did not fear to attack Jesus himself, is still going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That murderer and liar, who vexed Job and overthrew David and Peter, still lives and is not yet bound. If he cannot rob us of heaven, he will at any rate make our journey thither painful. If he cannot destroy our souls, he will at least bruise our heels, Genesis 3:15. Let us beware of despising him or thinking lightly of his power. Let us rather put on the whole armor of God and cry to the strong for strength. And James 4:7 says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Let us mark, secondly, our Lord Jesus Christ's ability to sympathize with those that are tempted. This is a truth that stands out prominently in this passage. Jesus has been really and literally tempted himself. It was suitable that he who came to destroy the works of the devil should begin his own work by a special conflict with Satan. It was meet that the great shepherd and bishop of souls should be fitted for his earthly ministry by strong temptation, as well as by the word of God and prayer. But above all, it was suitable that the great high priest and advocate of sinners should be one who has had personal experience of conflict and has known what it is to be in the fire. And this was the case with Jesus. It is written that he suffered being tempted, Hebrews 2:18. How much he suffered, we cannot tell. But that his pure and spotless nature did suffer intensely, we may be sure. Let all true Christians take comfort in the thought that they have a friend in heaven who can be touched with the feeling of their infirmities, Hebrews 4:15. When they pour out their hearts before the throne of grace and groan under the burden that daily harasses them, there is one making intercession who knows their sorrows. Let us take courage. The Lord Jesus is not an austere man. He knows what we mean when we complain of temptation and is both able and willing to give us help. Let us mark, thirdly, the exceeding subtlety of our great spiritual enemy, the devil. Three times we see him assaulting our Lord and trying to draw him into sin. Each assault showed the hand of a master in the art of temptation. Each assault was the work of one acquainted by long experience with every weak point in human nature. Each deserves an attentive study. Satan's first device was to persuade our Lord to distrust his Father's providential care. He comes to him when weak and exhausted with 40 days' hunger and suggests to him to work a miracle to gratify a carnal appetite. Why should he wait any longer? Why should the Son of God sit still and starve? Why not command this stone that it be made bread? Satan's second device was to persuade our Lord to grasp at worldly power by unlawful means. He takes him to the top of a mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. All these he promises to give him, if he will but fall down and worship him. The concession was small, the promise was large. But why not, by a little momentary act, obtain an enormous gain? Satan's last device was to persuade our Lord to an act of presumption. He takes him to a pinnacle of the temple and suggests to him to cast himself down. Now, by so doing, he would give public proof that he was one sent by God. In so doing, he might even depend on being kept from harm. Was there not a text of Scripture which specially applied to the Son of God in such a position? Was it not written that angels should bear him up? On each of these three temptations, it would be easy to write much. Let it be sufficient to remind ourselves that we see in them the three favorite weapons of the devil. Unbelief, worldliness, and presumption are three grand engines that he is ever working against the soul of man, and by which he is ever enticing him to do what God forbids, and to run into sin. Let us remember this and be on our guard. The acts that Satan suggests to us to do are often in appearance trifling and unimportant, but the principle involved in each of these little acts, we may be sure, is nothing short of rebellion against God. Let us not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Let us mark, lastly, the manner in which our Lord resisted Satan's temptations. Three times we see him foiling and baffling the great enemy who assaulted him. He does not yield a hair's breadth to him. He does not give him a moment's advantage. Three times we see him using the same weapon in reply to Satan's temptations, that is, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He who was full of the Holy Ghost was yet not ashamed to make the Holy Scripture his weapon of defense and his rule of action. Let us learn from this single fact, if we learn nothing else, from this wondrous history, the high authority of the Bible and the immense value of a knowledge of its contents. Let us read it, search into it, pray over it, diligently, perseveringly, unweariedly. Let us strive to be so thoroughly acquainted with its pages that its text may abide in our memories and stand ready at our right hand in the day of need. Let us be able to appeal from every perversion and false interpretation of its meaning to those thousand plain passages which are written, as it were, with a sunbeam. The Bible is indeed a sword, but we must take heed that we know it well if we would use it with effect. That's J.C. Ryle from his book Expository Thoughts on Luke, Volume 1. It's in the public domain. Thank you so much for being present today. We're going to move on next time to Thomas Mantone telling us how the devil tempts. We had a whole series on temptation from the Free Grace broadcaster. I've told you many times that if you'll just contact these people, they will send you this little booklet every 3 months, and there'll be a different subject each time, and the subject is covered by various men of God. Just contact them at chapel@mountzion.org and ask for your free copy of the Free Grace broadcaster. And no, they didn't ask me to tell you that, but they have given me full permission to use all of their articles online, and I appreciate them and the things that they produce. The Lord bless you. This is the Hackberry House of Cho Sun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.